Very nice. Take your Bibles and go to 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 1. Begin read again, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained a like precious faith with us. Peter's a Jew, so note here there's only one precious faith, and that includes the Jews and the Gentiles. One precious faith. Through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Of course, Peter's writing here to all people who have been commonly saved, one salvation, by the uncommon work in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this bond is more tender, I tell you, than the ear of a newborn baby, but yet stronger than the greatest steel anyone could ever imagine in this world. All over this world, all over the world, no matter where we are, the true people of God have a special bond with one another. And a bond that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ, from New Zealand to Latvia to Brazil to Panama, from London, England to Finland, from Russellville, Oklahoma to Wiley, Texas. We have a bond in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Peter is going to encourage these people, Jews and Gentiles, both saved, encourage these people who have been saved, because there is this natural desire, the natural man, the flesh that still lingers in our lives, not the natural man, but the flesh lingers still in our life, and that flesh still craves things that are not healthy for us, and they hinder our growth in the Lord. Besides all that, we're always going to have false teachers among us, and they are encouraging us to leave the God that we love. Now, Peter's going to point out to them the great importance of faithfulness. Faithfulness. Faithful living with our graces and the talents given us by God is key to our successful living in this life. So one of the greatest problems of humanity, even with the saved, is we get discouraged. We get discouraged. Well, I want to encourage you not to be discouraged, but be devoted. Be devoted. Being a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ is not easy. Like Dr. Henderson said, if it was easy, little girls would do it. We are to take up our cross daily and to follow him. And really nothing else is worthy of our efforts. Just yesterday, right here in this sacred place, we honored a very fine Christian lady who saved many, many years ago, married a good man, raised two boys, surrendered to the ministry, and lived on a shoestring for years. For years. Her good husband, the preacher, he died, but she didn't quit. She didn't quit at all. She did not go around poor mouthing life for the rest of her life. Not at all. What did she do? She pressed forward. She continued on. She moved out here all the way from the East Coast. She moved out here to Texas and to live there at the back of her son's home. And she found our church and she went to work. She went to work serving the Lord with her life, praying, witnessing of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to others, making calls, comfort ministries, reproof as needed, giving, going, loyal, loving all the while. Why? Why is that? Because Betty Redmond was devoted. She was a devoted Christian. And we must be devoted. We must be faithful in that devotion, also grow in faith. As we get older, we should be growing even more in the faith and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, faithfulness is one of the fruits of the Spirit that you can find in Galatians 5. Our Lord promised the faithful. He promised the overcomers that they would even be pillars in the temple of God. How about that? Pillars in the temple of God. In Revelation 3:12, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. That's what you get. You get great rewards of God. Now, Peter is preparing for his death, and we find him as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ seeking to encourage others to be faithful, not a few days, but all of their days. Faithful all of their days with the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And Peter wants all Christians to know God's power for you to be faithful is yours. It is available to you to be faithful. Somebody says, well, I can't do it. No, you can't, but he can by using you. As King David said, surely in goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? Forever. Now, verse 3 in our text of 2 Peter 1:3, according as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory, whereby are given us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Well, how is this so? Well, that's a good question. How can God's divine power be ours even while we're on earth living in this, well, imperfect body? How can that possibly be so? Well, Peter answers that question. He says, by continuing to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our God. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and get this, and of a sound mind, a sound mind. When we are growing, when we're healthy and we're growing in the Lord, in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have all that we need in Christ. If we're not growing, then we're not taking advantage of all that is there for us to be as successful or to be as fruitful and to be as a healthy a Christian as we could be. Now, many people, it seems, would rather say, Christian people would rather say, well, if I get saved, I'm going to have everything that I need to live a happy, successful, productive, mature life. Peter would take exception with that. You have only if you are continuing to grow in grace in the knowledge of Christ, then you have all the resources that you need to live a victorious Christian life. Now, this is the life that we should live, is the victorious Christian life. We should not seek to live a carnal life. We have been bought for better. We have been bought by the precious blood of the Lamb. We have been bought for better. And that better is to strive in the Lord, to push for, to press for that mark of the high calling of God. Now, this is the life we should live, and we in Resolve must live. We must live. The price is too high if we do not live that life. It's just too high. Number one, we should appropriate these great and precious promises that God's given us. They're there for us to take. They're there for us to gain and take them for our own. Now, these promises are precious for two reasons, at least two. Letter A, they allow us to be partaker of a divine nature. They allow us to tap into, they allow us to be partakers of a divine nature. In verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be what? Partakers of the divine nature. Well, Paul writes to that church, that carnal church, we all know as the church at Corinth, right? In 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So that's the first reason. It allows us to be a partaker of the holy nature, divine nature. Letter B, they allow us to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. And let me tell you, there are buckets and buckets and buckets full of corruption in this world. And if you're not careful, you'll end up with both feet in a bucket. They allow us to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Look at verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Now listen, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world. Paul writes in Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Think of, we talk about newborn babies, and we have one right here, and it's quite a distraction, I'll tell you, you know. I mean, a good distraction, not a bad one. It's a good distraction. It's not like a girl pulling her bubble gum up like this, you know, I'll tell you that. But think about the growth like a newborn baby. Boy, I love babies. I'm a sucker for pickup trucks and babies, I tell you, I really am. A newborn baby, when he or she is born, that's precious, brother. That's good. God bless you for being in the house of God today. That's good. They're strong for a baby, but they're not strong enough to achieve and do what they're going to need to do in the future. They can't even walk yet. Bowen just turned 1 year old and he's just now walking. Can't see very well. They're going to need a lot of help. They can't eat just anything. And so they don't have all the strength they need. They're not living an adult life, but one day a baby's going to have to live an adult life. They're going to need training. They're going to need knowledge. He's going to need knowledge and nurturing and training and encouragement and reproof and spankings, yes. She's going to need all the above. When we are saved as Christians, we're not saved as adults in that sense. When we get saved, we're still just a babe then at that time in the Lord. Just a baby. A baby. And babies need to what? They need to grow. But for them to grow, they have to eat. They have to sleep. They have to sleep a lot and they have to eat. Now, all of these things are from God and they're there for us to appropriate in our lives, but we have to desire these things. Number two, we must give all diligence to faith. One of the things we can be guilty of who know that salvation is free by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gift of eternal life, is then turn around and think everything else then is just going to be given us and we don't have to strive for anything. We don't have to stretch out. We don't have to press forward. But Peter says, and beside this in verse 5, giving all diligence. Giving all diligence. You know, I'm glad, very thankful and honored to be born an American. I really am. I'm a patriot. You're looking at a patriot. But if I want America to be strong, I have to be willing to fight for her. And I want you to know that I am, still to this day. But I was born an American, and that was a gift. That was a gift. But I don't want to abuse that gift. I want to add to that gift. I want to honor that gift by living a life that would bring honor to the gift. James said, even so, faith that hath not works is dead, being alone. Well, where does faith come from? So then faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by what? By the Word of God. By the Word of God. That's why we're not about entertainment here. You want entertainment? Go to Six Flags. Knock yourself out. You know, go ride the roller coasters and the teacup. Just don't throw up on me. But we come to the house of God to grow, to learn, to mature, to become great, mighty oak trees for the young ones to play under the limbs. God help us. Faith is actively learning and obeying God. True faith is living a life according to revealed Word of God, not to our own ways and not according to our own whims. We have a whole new manufactured Christianity going on today, if you haven't noticed. But it's not the Christianity of this book. It's not even the Christianity of your great-grandpas and grandmothers. My, how we have changed. Faith is actively obeying God in His revealed Word. Peter writes in verse 14, as obedient children, Don't you like to see obedient children? I love to see obedient children. They do what their mom and daddies tell them to do, grandmas and granddaddies tell them to do, and they do it with a smile. That's a good kid. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the formal lust in your ignorance. Now, Peter supports this faith by saying, add to it faith to virtue, knowledge, temperance, God's control in our life, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity or love. In verse 5, he says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Peter says, by revelation from God, if ye do these things, if, and that's a big if, see, that's a condition. If you do these things, then and only then, look at verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they abound, they're growing, right? They're abounding, they're increasing, more, 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 yes, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's a pretty serious condition. That sounds like grown-up Christianity. That didn't sound like third-grade Christianity. That sounds like grown-up time. It's time to grow up. And a lot of Christians do need to grow up, and thank God they got saved. But if you've been living as a babe in Christ for 20 years, shame on you. That's so unnecessary and so barren for your life. If you continue to grow in Christ, number one, you will not be barren in the knowledge of Christ. Now, I did some time, did some word study on this and what it means to be barren. And the best single word I can give you to provoke you, but also to be true to the study of the word, what it means to be barren, is this: useless. Useless. I love sweet, good produce. And I love sweet oranges. I love vine ripe just about anything. I could eat tomatoes right off the vine. Just give me a little bit of spit and a little salt, and I'll be just happy, happy, happy. But I love sweet oranges. And as originally a Florida boy, I love oranges. Love oranges. But if you see an orange grove, and you see limbs and you see trees, but you see no fruit and it's harvest time, those trees are useless. They're useless. They're just really taking up space. They're not producing anything. They are what? They are barren. They're barren. They're barren. Why would anyone choose to be barren in life? So if we're not growing in faith and the knowledge of the Lord, we are not, I won't say, because we want to be careful about this, especially in the training of our children, we're not useless, we're being useless. Is that better? Yeah, every once in a while I try to be a little bit politically incorrect, you know, just a tad, just a smidget. But things which do not grow wither and they die. And I see sometimes Christian people who are dying in their life. And that makes me very sad. Because I know God wants productive, useful, fruit-bearing children. Fruit-bearing children, supporting the gospel ministry of His churches around the world. And serious about it. Serious about it. We better get serious about it or we're going to be run over. We better be serious about this thing we call Christianity. Now, we are not gifted by God to sit, be saved and just sit, or to be saved and just soak, sit there and just soak. But to soar high, to grow, to achieve greater heights for the Lord Jesus Christ, to become more than you were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Would you look back on your spiritual life? I'm talking about your spiritual life now, your Christian life. And could you honestly say that you are a much stronger, knowledgeable Christian today than you were 5 years ago? Or 10 years ago, or 20 years ago? And if not, could I ask you this, a very sincere question? Why in the world not? Why in the world not? We don't want to be useless. We want to be productive, useful, fruit-bearing Christians. Number two, you will not be unfruitful in the knowledge of Christ. Look again at verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor, listen, unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Huh, the knowledge. Get knowledge, get understanding. Sound familiar? Look back in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Guess what? Through what? Through the what? Knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace be multiplied. More fruit. What do you like? More fruit. My wife, she just trimmed our little peach tree in the back, and because it needed to be trimmed, it needed to be pruned. Why? Because we want peaches. We want peaches to be multiplied, right? Multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We have some, but there's a lot more available. And we should want even more through the Lord Jesus Christ and His knowledge. And that's only, though, if we grow. Now, most of us would say, young Timothy, with the Apostle Paul, young Timothy, he certainly was an outstanding young man. And he certainly was. And much of that was due to his godly mother and his godly grandmother, according to his testimony of Scripture. But even he, with the great responsibility he had, and he went up to Ephesus and took over that ministry for a while, but that great ministry, the Apostle Paul, writing to him in his last letter, last words are very important, and he told this young preacher boy, study, son, study. Not just read, study. Study, show thyself approved unto God. Approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How do you do that? Study. Read, study, discern, apply. Read, study, discern, and apply. The great Psalm, chapter 119, is loaded with jewels, just absolutely loaded with jewels. And here's one, even for a young man, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How can a young man clean up his life? Now, young men, well, let's just face it. We can become so easily distracted. You say, what do you mean we? You're not a young man. I used to be. And I remember those days. I remember those years. And young men need a lot of work. They need a lot of patience, and they need a lot of nurturing, and they need a lot of training, and they need a lot of discipline. Say amen. That's a good place to say amen right there. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Here's the answer. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. How does a young man clean up his life and make himself worthy of a girl to become his wife? How does that happen? Getting in the book of God, studying the book of God, learning to live the book of God, obeying what you read in the book. Obey what you read in the book. And learn how to grow and to become something other than a gamer. That's another good place to say amen right there. How shall he cleanse his way? By taking heed, 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 according to thy word. The word of God, the precious word of God. We'll spend so much time on everything else under the sun and hardly any time at all studying the Bible. That's not the Christianity of our grandfathers and grandmothers. They pored over the Bible. And they didn't have all of the tools and the helps of everything that we have today on the computer. We can find things so fast, so much faster on our phone or on smart devices that it would take 3 or 4 weeks for our grandparents to find that. But yet they seem to know more of the Bible than we do today. Now, why is that? I ask you honestly, why is that? Hunger. They wanted it more. They wanted it more. Do you hear me? They wanted it more. And so they went and got it. They went and studied the Word of God. The more we study the Bible, the more we come to church, the more we get involved in Sunday school, learn the Bible, study the Bible, lean, apply the Bible, live the Bible, witness the Bible, share the Bible. The more we grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the better off we, our families, our children, and our children's children will be, but only if we get after it. Only if we get after it. Listen, the life lesson I have lived and seen in the lives of those who live this way, that really press, just like Miss Betty, they're the most blessed. Man, let me tell you. If it wouldn't embarrass so many people, I could be very provocative by showing you how much God has blessed those who obey and strive like this. They are the victorious Christians living among us. And they are the most blessed. And sometimes other Christians get envious of God's blessings on their life, but you don't pay the price to get that. You don't pay the price. If you don't pay the price, you don't do the study, you don't do the digging, you don't do the growing, the faithfulness to church and all that that goes with it, you're not going to get it. It's not for you. It's been well said, if gold was easy to get, everybody would have some. But you have to mine it out of the ground. John says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me, the very words of our Lord. Hold your place there and flip over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Could I just give you a little bit more of an extended passage here? I think it works well with the sermon. Whether you agree or not, that's okay. But I'm one preaching the sermon, so I guess you're going to have to put up with me a little bit. You know, bear with it. I'll forbear you if you'll forbear me. How about that? Old song, I'll pray for you if you'll pray for me. And I do appreciate your prayers. Verse 17 of chapter 4. This I say, Paul says, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth, in other words, turn your back to this stuff and walk off. See? Henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. And he's talking about the lost Gentiles. Don't walk like they walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Why? How? Through the ignorance. Ignorance is not bliss. Through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, wickedness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye, you Christians, listen, fellow saints, ye Christians, you just hear the earnestness in his voice. But ye have not so learned Christ. Oh, believer, you have not. So that's not what you've learned in God's word. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Heard of him, been taught by him as the truth. The truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. But that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, that old way, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. But that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Warren Wiersbe is known to be a great outliner and teacher of God's word. And this is what he said. Some of the most effective Christians I have known are people without dramatic talents or special abilities. In other words, he's going to say, normal people. People, normal people. I have known, the most effective Christians I have known are people without dramatic talents or special abilities or even exciting personalities. Yet God has used them in marvelous ways. Marvelous ways. Why? Because they are becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. They have the kind of character and the kind of conduct that God can trust with his blessings. Can God trust you? They are fruitful because they are faithful. You get that? They are fruitful because they are faithful. We want to be fruitful without first being faithful. It doesn't work that way. If you don't faithfully go to work, don't expect a good paycheck. They are fruitful because they are faithful. They are effective. They are effective. This is good. Because they are growing in their Christian experience. They're growing. The Lord said this in John 15, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." I want to bear fruit, and I want to see that that fruit remains. I want men and women to bear fruit and see that that fruit remains. I want men and women to be taught, and I want men and women around me and by my side who will do right until the stars fall out of heaven. They will continue to do right no matter what. No matter what. No matter what. Do right. I love this story. Some men sent William Carey word and asked him on the mission field, "If you could tell us if there are any good roads to get where you are, we'd like to send some men to come help you." And he sent word. I love this. This is good. This is good for men. And by the way, great women too. And he sent word back to them. If you only have men who will come, if there are good roads, don't send them. How many of us would be here today if there were no good roads to get here? Amen or oh me. But I love that story. Peter first gives us the good news and then the bad news follows. Sometimes we like that. We don't want the good news or the bad news first. Well, he saves the bad news for the second part. Because he says, if you do not continue to grow in faith, that person faces two big problems that are bigger than himself. Number one, he's going to be blind. He's going to be blind. And cannot see, the Bible says, afar off. Look at verse 9. But if he lacketh these things, he is blind and cannot see afar off. It didn't say he wouldn't have any spiritual sight, just he has poor spiritual sight. And he can't see, not near, but he can't see afar off. He can only see right there to the end of his nose. Now, any man that will only live what he can see to the tip of his nose, you girls, don't marry that man. Don't marry that man. You want to marry an insightful man. You want to marry a wise man. You want to marry a man who can make plans for your future. You with me? You want to make marriage work with a man who has some insight, has some good vision, and can look out and say, if I make this decision, where will I be in 5 years? Where will we be in 10 years? Where will our family be in 20 years, in 30 years, in 40 years? What blessings would I be there ready to give and pass along to my grandchildren? Not even my children, but my grandchildren and great-grandchildren. What legacy can I pass down to them? That's the type of men that we need in our churches. That's the type of women that we need in our Christian churches. Now, people can't see any further than the nose. We all know them because they're usually loud and dumb. Now, I'm sorry, that's not politically correct. I told you just every once in a while I throw that out. They have just enough of the Spirit of God to make baby Christians, but they end up being complainers and whiners, but not winners. They're blind. Number two, they have forgotten that they have been purged from their old sins. Purged from their old sins. You know, we sing great hymns of faith, and there are reasons why we do every single thing we do around here. We want to know, by even the songs we sing, what shall wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What shall make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And we need to be reminded daily of these things. It's why we sing the song. You say, I sang that song when I was a little girl. God bless you that you did. And you need to be singing that same great song today. Now let me tell you, when the life seems to come to a halt and you start sucking air, I bet you anything, the songs which will come to your heart are these types of songs. It will not be the little ditties that some punk kid come up with playing his boy band. It'll be great songs of faith which remind us of the great sacrifice of our Lord. And we need to be reminded, reminded, and reminded again, and reminded again. Why? Because we tend to forget where we came from and how we got here. We have forgotten, he's forgotten that he's been purged from his old sins. We who have been saved are not to continue to live like the world. God forbid. We shouldn't be living that way. We shouldn't be living that way. And that's not old fashioned, it's Bible. We shouldn't be living that way. We've been lifted up to live, not in the ways of the world, but live according to the world, what the world doesn't love. Now that's the Lord. Those evil places we used to go to, we shouldn't frequent that today. People say, well, that's just old-fashioned Bible preaching. You bet your boots it is. It's exactly what it is. The evil things that the lost drink, that rob our minds and poison our souls, that shouldn't be a part of our life. That should be a part of our life. Oh, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Well, okay, you want to be loud and dumb, go ahead. The evil things that the lost do, man, they do a lot of evil things. I'm embarrassed. So many things that they do. They're just rank evil. The way lost people think, we should no longer think that way. Let this mind be in you, see. The greatest place of danger for a believer is to be backslidden. Now, if you're not growing, you're backslidden. See that? If you're not growing, you're backslidden. And the most miserable Christian in the world is a backslidden Christian. Why? Because here's the thing. You know what you should be doing and you're refusing to do it. And at the end of the day, when you lay your head on your pillow, you've got to live with yourself. You know it and I know it. And you know if you're walking with God or you're not. You know. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And you know it. You've forgotten. You've forgotten who you were. The other day we were talking about all these little movies. Collins talked about the movies and all my kids, you know. No, I don't get it just right all the time. Matter of fact, I've never got it right. But that's the Lion King, right? You recognize the tune, not the words. I don't know the words. I just kind of throw my own in there. But we'd get up in the morning or whatever, you know, and my kids were dating little bitty guys running around, you know, four of them on each leg, you know, that type of guys. Boy, I'd just come out of the bedroom, you know, boy, they come running, pitter-patter, pitter-patter, pitter-patter. Lion King is on. Lion King is on. And what was one of the lessons? From the wise father to the foolish, immature son. You have forgotten who you are. You've lost your way. Why? You've forgotten who you are. And Christian, you go back to the foot of that cross and you find out who you have become through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you remember who you are. And you start acting like you should act. Living as you should live. Going as you should go. Giving as you should give. Churching the way you should be churching. But so many forgotten. You've forgotten who you are. I'm just not anybody. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. If we want to be successful in this Christian life, we have to continue to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and stop listening to the filth and corruption of the office place, the drivel of the world, and get into the revealed Word of God. That's why even our children's ministry here, we're not into entertainment. You want VeggieTales? Knock yourself out, just not here. Here we're going to have kids being taught the Word of God. Because listen, that's what they're really going to need. That's what they're really going to need to be successful in their Christian life. I get upset about some things. One of the things I get upset about is seeing Christians I love and I have poured myself into ending up on the trash heaps of this world. I don't like it. I tell you, I don't like it. I don't like it so much. It bothers me. Why? Because I loved them. I loved them. Even my children, I'll ask about, you seen such and such, or you heard anything about such and such, you know. I don't do the social stuff, you know, and the media, Facebook and all that stuff. And I'll, from time to time, say, have you seen them or read anything about them lately, you know? And they'll tell me, Daddy, you don't want to know. You don't want to see. You don't want to know. It'll break your heart. And it does. Just even knowing, not even seeing the pictures, you know. It'll break your heart. And I think about, if it breaks my heart, how much more is it breaking God's heart? Breaking God's heart. Their grandparents' hearts, who invested in their parents. Much better than that. Much better than that. Too many Christians are ending up on the trash heap of life. And I, for one, I'm against it. I'm against it. I hate to see it happen. You say, well, you shouldn't take the ministry so personal. Sorry, I do. I do. You say, well, you'll have a heart attack. You'll end your life prematurely. So be it. So be it. I'd rather care than not care. So how about you? Are you continuing in the faith and knowledge of the Lord? How truly is your sincerity and your devotion to God? If you put it on a scale and you were going to weigh it out, how well would you do? Now, I'm not your judge. I'm not seeking to be your judge. But there is a one who is your judge. Because we're going to be weighed in the balance. And God will do the weighing. What is your relationship to Christ? Do you love Him more today than you did 3 years ago? 3 months ago? 10 years ago? 20 years ago? 40 years ago? What is your relationship to His Word? Do you love it? Oh, well, it's so convicting. Yeah. What is your relationship to His church? I'm talking about living, breathing, physical church. The Bible church. Well, I pray, if it's not what it should be, that today you would repent of that. Because let me tell you, you know, after going through some of this stuff, Miss Beulah, that life can sure change so quick. So quick. And we don't know when it's time to have our ticket punched. You don't know, sir, and I don't know. We have no idea. Walk into a place and they say, you're having a heart attack. No, not me. You're talking about somebody else. I'm still thinking it's a hot, spicy tacos. Heartburn. It's just heartburn. Just spicy tacos that staff gave me. Staff from hell. They gave me the spicy taco. I'm kidding. Now, if you're not saved today, I beg you to be saved. You say, well, the preacher shouldn't beg. Why not? I'd hate to know in future that you went to hell having been here at this service today. Would you please be saved? And I'd say, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right now. Right now. Lord Jesus Christ, forgive me a sinner and save my soul. You say, that simple and sincere, yes. Save my soul. Save my soul. But if you are saved, and I would just assume that's the vast majority of people sitting here in this room, are you growing? Do you even want to grow? What's your attendance like in Sunday school? What's your attendance like in church? How much do you actually study God's Word? Not the little devotion, 30 seconds to live by, but actually reading and pondering and meditating on the Word of God. You realize that years and years ago, we didn't all have Bibles. The Christians didn't have Bibles all in their homes and all around their lives. They had to get the Bible read to them, and then they had to meditate. They had to think on it. They had like a cow to chew on it. Think about it. Think about it. How do I apply this in my life? How do I live by these jewels of faith that are found in God's Word? It's not a matter of just reading. It's not a matter of just understanding. It's a matter of mulling it over in your mind and in your heart and allowing the water of the Word of God to wash you clean, to clean up your life, clean up your mouth, clean up your thought life, clean up your church life, clean up all of these things to make us useful vessels, honorable vessels unto the Lord my God. I do not go out and visit a lot of other churches. But a number of our people, they visit a lot more churches out than I do, and they're out on vacation or going for this, that, and the other. And they come back with such sad things. Things that trouble my spirit. What people are doing in the house of God. They shouldn't be doing that. They shouldn't be doing that. Your church should not look like a dance hall. Your church should not look like a bar on Friday night. Your church should not be led by a punk 15-year-old drummer. It should be led by this word. By the book. By the book. That's a good old saying. By the book. By the book. Well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with living by the book? It makes for good children. It makes for good marriages. It makes for good countries. It makes for good churches. It makes for good employees. It makes for good bosses and companies. What's wrong with it? There's nothing wrong with it. So we need to get back to it and make a commitment to grow. And if that's not where you are today, I pray right now you repent in your heart. God, forgive me. I knew better, and I just quit growing. I knew better, and I just quit growing. And I want you to know this. If you will confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Give us a brand new day tomorrow, as Anne of Green Gables would say, with no mistakes in it. No mistakes. God help us. Let's stand for prayer.